I want you to watch this testimony of this man that was part of gangs. He was really had a rough life, and he came to know Jesus. And I want you to look and tell me, when was the turning point in his life? When was the turning point? When was there light there at the end of the tunnel? And I want you to look at this video, and you tell me. You look at it, and you tell me when the turning point came in this guy's life. Let's dim the lights and do that.
I grew up in a rough and tumble Irish Catholic family. We all learned how to box, and we were encouraged to fight with our cousins and box with our cousins. I kind of just went off living my life. I told my mom I didn't want any part of her church. I didn't want any part of that in my life. I just wanted to live pretty much like my dad did. I indulged myself in the rougher side of the element. In fact, I would beat people up for being Christians just because I thought it was fun. I had a hard time thinking that God could forgive me for, you know, knocking somebody's teeth out, for, you know, selling drugs to people and having to come back and beat them up for collecting it. I kind of wanted to make a clean break, and I had an opportunity to move out to Virginia. Tried to be a better person, you know, did all my very best. Somehow I equated it, if I was good for most part of the week, that I could go out on the weekends and just get a little wild, but I'd be all right. And then one night, and met some girls, put them on my motorcycle, and we were looking for this other party, and we happened to drive by a cop, said, "Hey, pull over," and I said, "No." I tossed the girls off the motorcycle and dashed out of there. And the police are like minutes behind me. Luckily, they didn't see the fact that I went off into the woods, so I had a lot of time to sit there and think. I was freezing in the woods, and here I am talking to God, yelling, screaming at him, thinking about my grandmother praying for me, and there I wake up, I'm in a church parking lot. A couple of the guys came over here at the church, came over, and they said, "Is there anything we can help you with? You know, do you need help getting your motorcycle started?" And one of them looked at me and goes, "You look kind of rough, dude. You might want to go over there and get a cup of coffee, and there's some donuts. Go ahead and get something to eat." And one of them actually loaded me into his truck and gave me a ride back to the house where I was living. And actually, he invited me to church on Sunday. So I came to church the next Sunday, and the people here were just welcoming me with open arms. Here I'm just this derelict kind of off the street. I held a job, but that was about the only thing I could say that was positive about me, myself at the time. And the people just embraced me and loved me. They brought me in and gave me food, invited me to their fellowship like I was one of them. And I wanted to be a member of something more than I never really had been a member of anything other than a gang or something. So I kept coming to church here and was asking people about what God is, who he is, you know, and they were studying the Bible with me. And at that point I was convinced, you know, that this is something that I wanted to do with my life. I became a Christian, and I realized now that all the love that was shown to me, I need to turn around and show to other people. And then I'm looking for the people who just walk in off the street. It's my calling. That's all I can say, is I know that through the love that God showed me, I need to do that for other people.
Isn't that good, church? Amen. Through the love that God showed me, I knew I needed to show that to other people. And you know, to me, and I think all of us would agree, the turning point in that story is when he's literally at the end of his rope, and these guys show up from the church and say, "Hey, man, can we, why don't you come over and get some donuts and coffee? Hey, man, listen, you need some help starting your motorcycle? Hey, listen, let me give you a ride home. We'll throw it in my truck. I'll take you home." And then invites the guy to church, and then he ends up trusting Christ. And little did those guys probably know, when they walked over there into the woods, some guy that's in the woods with a motorcycle, and they approached him, little did they know how God was going to use them to make a difference in his life. And that's what the message is about today, is God using your life to make a difference. He never names the people, did he, that came over in the woods that day. He just says a bunch of guys came over. And the story today is very similar to that we're going to look at in the Bible. And in fact, I want you to take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter number 14. And, you know, the text there, go ahead and turn there. And the if you're using the church Bible, which is under your seats there, grab a Bible if you don't have a Bible, and go to page number 1008. That'll take you to Matthew 14. And then, if you're really ambitious, and I know you guys are awake and ambitious, you'll notice on your message handout, it also has Mark 6, which is page number 1038. Go there too. So if you, that's the next book of the Bible, Matthew, Mark. So go to Matthew 14, and then also throw a bookmarker or throw something in Mark chapter number 6, because it tells the same story. And so we're going to look at both of those chapters. It tells the exact same story. One is from Matthew's perspective. The other one's from Mark's perspective. But here's the story. You ready? Very simple. It's not going to take me long to tell this story because it's just three verses. But Jesus and the disciples, his 12 disciples, they got into a ship and they sailed. We don't travel by ship much today, but back then they did a lot. And so they traveled by ship to a land area called Gennesaret. And imagine this is the ship right here that I'm in. The Bible says they docked it there at the land of Gennesaret, and they go to get out of the ship, and as they're getting out of the ship, and they're probably grabbing all their junk, you know, out of there, the Bible says that there were a group of men that were kind of off in the distance. I don't know, maybe they're kind of up on a hill, and they're looking down there at the lake, and one of them hits the other one and goes, "Hey, man, dude, I think that's Jesus Christ." The other guy's like, "Really? Yeah, you know what? That is Jesus. That's Jesus. Man, that's Jesus. Yeah, that's Jesus." And the Bible says that they realized that it was Jesus because they knew him. They knew Jesus. The Bible indicates they were already Christ followers. So what do they do? Well, go to your Bible and look at Matthew 14 in verse number 34. It says, "And when they were gone over, they, Jesus and the disciples, came into the land of Gennesaret." Verse 35. "And when the men of that place," they lived there, they had knowledge of him, "they sent out into all that country round about, and they brought unto him all that were diseased." That's pretty powerful. Let's read that verse again. "And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and they brought unto Jesus, unto him, all that were diseased." Verse 36 says, "And they besought him," they besought Jesus, "that they," the people they brought, "might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." You know, you read this story and you're like, "You know what? I don't think I ever remember reading that." Well, join the crowd, because what happens is that story kind of flies under the radar. And the reason why it flies under the radar is because there's no specific names mentioned. These guys' names are never mentioned. There's no specific events that are mentioned. But yet these men made a huge difference with their own lives. They were just common, ordinary, everyday people. I mean, just like you and me. At least I'm assuming. I feel like I'm a common, ordinary, everyday sort of guy. I ain't rich or famous. How many of you are common, everyday, ordinary? Raise your hand. All right, yeah. And you know what? God used these guys in a very powerful, powerful way. They were not prophets. They were not apostles. They were not pastors. They were not deacons. They were just men who lived in that area. And these group of men, they saw an open door, and they used that door. They went through the door. They seized that door of opportunity. In other words, they made the most of it, and they made a difference. And they brought scores of people to Jesus Christ. These guys were all about bringing others to Jesus. And that is exactly what the church should be about. It should be about bringing others to Jesus. And what hits me about this is that these guys see Jesus off in the distance, and they were not like, "Well, you know what? We already know Jesus, and we've got our group, you know, we've kind of got our life group, and we're good, we're happy, you know, and we got our church, and everything's good, you know." And their first thought was not that, and it also was not, "Jesus is here. I wonder what he could do for me. You know, I've really had this ingrown toenail, and it's really been giving me fits. And you know what? Maybe Jesus could touch my foot and heal it, you know? Or, man, my knees have been bothering me, and I really need a knee replacement. But, man, Jesus could touch my knee and make it better. I've had this arthritis, and, oh, man, it hurts. you know, Jesus is here. He can heal my arthritis. No. Their first thought was for others. And what a difference they made in the lives of others. And I thought, what a thrill it would be to one day leave this earth when our time comes and know that our life made a difference in other people's lives, an eternal difference. Because, I mean, let's face it, guys, life can get mundane. Life can get very ordinary. I get it. I mean, we've all been there. We all know that. Every day isn't this unique, special mountaintop experience. A lot of days, a lot of weeks go by, and you get up, and you have your brush your teeth, and you, I hope you brush your teeth, and then you know, you eat your cereal, or your oatmeal or whatever it is, and you get up and you go to work and you work hard. You come home beat exhausted. You run through a drive-thru or you bake something at the house, and then you watch a little TV, and then you go to bed, and then you get up and you do it all over again. You know, and I know that life can get very ordinary, but what I'm going to preach to you and what I'm going to teach you today is these are ordinary guys. Okay? And yet their life, that there was an opportunity here for them to do something special. And they really took that opportunity and they really used their life to make a difference. And what I want you to see is in the midst of the mundane, in the midst of the ordinary, in the midst of that job maybe that you tolerate, you know, I want you to know there's a chance there for you to do something special, to really have your life make a difference. And really, so that one day you die in peace. Why? Because you know, man, there are going to be people in heaven because you served. People in heaven because you loved. People in heaven because you cared. There's going to be people up there in heaven because you gave generously. How can our life make a difference in other people's lives? Common, ordinary people like you and me. How can our lives make a difference? How can we take our life? You know, and I look at these guys and I think, man, I want to be like them, you know? And they're not even named in Scripture, but yet they made such a difference. And so I thought, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dig into this and I'm going to try to pull out what made these guys this way, how they made such a difference. And so that's what I want to give you this morning is number one, this. I want to give you a few things to think about and to hopefully implement this week. I'm telling you, what I'm giving you, you're going to be able to take home with you and implement right away. Number one is this. First of all, if you want your life to make a difference in other people's lives, number one, you must know what Jesus can do. That's where it starts. That is the basis of everything that happens here. These guys had personal, firsthand knowledge of Christ. Go back to your Bible. Look at Matthew 14:35. It says, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him. Mark 6:54 simply says, they knew him. They knew him. This is what spurred these guys to action. These men knew what Jesus could do. I'm not sure how they knew Christ. The Bible doesn't give us the backstory here. All we know is that they knew him. They knew that Jesus was fully capable of radically changing hurting lives. They just knew it. And that motivated them to want to bring as many people as they could to Jesus Christ. Now, let's apply that. You ready? Here we go. Now, stay with me. All right. Do you have a personal, firsthand knowledge of what Jesus Christ can do in a life? Have you received him into your heart and life? Has he made a difference in your life? Has Jesus Christ, and again, you're not perfect, none of us are, but how many of you could honestly, don't just say it because you think I want to hear it. How many of you can honestly say, no, I know Christ and he has changed my life for the better? Any amens? Okay. Answer may be no. No, I don't know Christ. Well, then the good news is this. You can accept Jesus Christ today. You can know him today. You can have firsthand knowledge of him today. You don't have to wait a year or 2 years. You can know him today. In fact, after the service, Pastor Rich is going to hang out in the resource area, this room right back here. And he had folks come to him last service. Just if you're interested in knowing more about Christ, how to have a personal relationship with Christ, how to know that all the bad things you've done are forgiven, how to know that you're at peace with God and know you have a relationship with God, he'll be there to help you and answer any questions you have. And you know what? We respect the seeking process here at Crossroads. We're not trying to shove it down your throat. We want to truly be here for you to answer any questions that you might have, to hopefully bring you a step closer to trusting Christ as your Savior. Because I didn't accept Christ the first time I ever heard the gospel. There was a process. There was a seeking process that took place until that day when I finally gave my heart to Him. And the same may be true of you. You've been coming to Crossroads, and it interests you, but you've not yet made a heart commitment to Christ. Well, if you'd like to talk to someone after the service, we stand ready to help you with that. At least begin dialogue, begin talking to someone, be a seeker, right? Be like, hey, you know what? I want truth. And if Jesus is truth, then I want Jesus because I want truth in my life. Now, you may be here this morning and you're like, no, the answer is yes. Yes, I do know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, your knowledge of Christ should motivate you to want to bring others to Him. In other words, God can use you right now. He can use you right now. Because I know some of you are like, yeah, you know, I want to make a difference, and I really want to help people come to Jesus. And you know, one day I think I might be ready to do that. No, if you know Jesus, then you're ready right now. Say, what do you mean? You do not have to attend church and have perfect attendance for a year before you're ready. We want you to come to church. But you do not have to do that. You don't have to read the Bible through in a year to be ready. You don't have to go through our 3-year Bible Institute plan to be ready. Aren't you glad for that? Amen? I'd like to make a difference in other people's lives. Well, we're going to put you on a 3-year plan here. No, you can do it right now. You say, well, how can I do that? I want to give you 2 simple words, and I want you to think about this. All right? Simple strategy for you making a difference in other people's lives. Here it is, 2 words. Invest and invite. You say, what does that mean? Okay, here it is. You ready? You begin to invest in people relationally. You're not going to be in your little Christian cocoon anymore. You are going to reach out beyond yourself and just invest. That doesn't mean you got to have a big, deep Bible discussion. That means you just take them some cookies, you know, or you take them out to eat. Or you buy them a cup of coffee. You just ask, man, what's going on in your life? You know? And you just begin to invest. You just have a conversation with your neighbor. But you begin to invest in people relationally. And then the second word is invite. In other words, once you invest in people relationally, at the right time, invite them. You say, to what? It doesn't have to be a church service, although it could be. You may invite them to walk through Bethlehem. What a great opportunity to invite them to a great event, you know? You may invite them to something like we just had, the marriage conference, you know? But you, at the right time, you invite, right? So you invest and you invite. Every one of us in here who knows the Lord can begin to do that, and you can make a difference in other people's lives. But again, you got to look outside yourself. You got to begin. A lot of times what we do, the only investment we make is in other Christians who already know the Lord. I'm telling you, that's a problem. If all you ever hang around and have coffee with is other Christians, you're going to have a hard time making a difference and having people up in heaven because of your life. You have to begin to pour relationally and invest some time into people that don't go to church and they aren't people of faith. And maybe they're skeptics, maybe they're atheists, maybe they're Muslim, maybe they're Hindu, but you invest in them. One of the thrills of our life this year was to be able to have a Muslim young man at our house. And we had him over for dinner. And man, just one of the kindest, nicest young men we have ever met. And he was so appreciative. Clayton had kind of befriended him, and we had him over to the house for dinner. It was awesome. And we consider him a friend. You know, has he come to faith in Christ yet? No. But we're trying to invest in that relationship. And so I would encourage you, if you want your life to make a difference, you're going to have to invest. Now, here's the thing. I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was one mean dude. He was like that guy on the video. Paul was like, he was just like that. He was ruthless. He was vicious. He was violent. He was abusive by his own testimony. And the Apostle Paul finally accepted Christ. And when he did, his life was radically changed. He did not wait 10 years before he began to try to make a difference. The Bible, in the very same chapter where he gets saved, this verse shows up. Let's bring it up. And immediately, straightway means immediately, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Immediately he begins sharing about Jesus. Same chapter he got saved. Go to the next verse, Romans 10:1. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel," that's his country, "is that they might be saved." You say, "Pastor Dan, why do you mention Paul?" Here's why. Because Christ has always been about changing lives. Y'all agree, Christ is all about changing lives. Amen, church? Now, those changed lives are the best advertising for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The problem is, though, if the salt never gets out of the shaker, it's going to have a hard time flavoring up anything. Who is the salt? Who's the salt of the earth? We are. But the salt stays in the shaker too much. What we're doing here is great. It's important. What you do in life group is great, and it's important. All right? But the salt's got to get out of the shaker. And you've got to begin to rub shoulders and invest relationally in people that don't know Christ. Because that's how your life is going to make a difference. All right? So that's the first thing. I'm going to give you one more point, and that's going to be it, because we're going to finish this next week. So go to your handout, and I'm going to give you number two, and I'm just going to cover one more thing. We're going to finish this up next week, all right? I didn't get through it in the first two services, and I'm not going to do it in this service either. If you guys would listen a little faster, maybe I could, but number two, all right? And this is a biggie, so I'm going to spend the rest of our time together with this point. Number two. And if you can implement this stuff this week, all right? Choose. Here it is. Choose to care about hurting people. Now, after you write that in, I would love for you to just give me your attention. I want to talk to you from my heart for a minute. When these men saw Christ getting out of the ship, unloading, they were literally faced with a choice. They are busy like everyone else in life. Right? Everyone's busy. Everybody's got places to go. Everybody's got jobs. Everybody's got things to do. Everybody's got family that they got to do. And so these guys are busy. So picture them. Here they are. They're up here. They got Jesus Christ down there getting out of the boat. They've got all these hurting, diseased, hurting people back here that they know that live in their area. All of a sudden now they've got a decision. Do we keep our knowledge to ourselves? Or do we become a bridge whereby these people can come to Jesus? Are we going to become a bridge, or are we going to basically just say, you know what, we're busy, we got things to do? And so what did they do? Look down at verse number 35 again, and let's see the choice that they made. It says, "And when the men of that place had knowledge of him," notice what did they do? Hey, man, we're going to be a bridge. They sent out into all that country round about, and they brought unto him all that were diseased. Now, skip over to Mark now. Go back over to our other text, Mark 6. I love this. Look at Mark 6:54. It says, "And when they were come out of the ship, immediately, straightway, they knew him." Look at the next verse now. "And ran." Man, it says they ran. They took off like the 50-yard dash. They ran through that whole region roundabout. And they began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. They made their choice. They said, "We choose to care. We are going to be a bridge for these people to come to Jesus." They had a huge heart for the hurting people in their community. Now, let's kind of draw this in more personal, all right? This is a great story, awesome, but let's just really bring it closer to home. Do you think that there are hurting people in our community today? Daytona Beach. Do you think that there are hurting people in your neighborhood? Do you think there are hurting people right on your block? In the 8:30 and the 9:45, each yes got weaker. Are there hurting people in our community? Yes! Are there hurting people in your neighborhood? Yes. Are there hurting people on your block? Yeah, I guess so. See, when it starts to get close to home, we're like, oh, wait a minute. If it's on my block, I need to do something about it. If it's just in the community, that's just kind of general. Someone else will do it. Wait a minute, on my block? In my apartment building? Where I live, the same building? In my mobile home park? You mean in my condo out on the beach? There are hurting people right there in that building? Yeah, you know what I found out in life? Tragedy and hurt and sorrow and loss hits everybody. It does not matter if you live in the nastiest, filthiest, junkiest, dirtiest house in this city, in the poorest of neighborhoods, or you live in the nicest condo, high rise on the beach. It makes no difference. Hurt and devastation hit both homes. No respect of persons. There are hurting people wherever you go. Wherever you go. Did you notice the turning point in that video for that guy's testimony? Was when that group of men came out into the woods where he was and reached out to him and said, come have some coffee and donuts, man. You look rough. Let's load up your bike, man. I'll take you home. That's when the turn happened. And my desire for our church is for the people of Crossroads to be known in this community as people who care. That we care about the hurting. You know, I was reading a book recently. It's a really good book. He's a church consultant. He goes all over the country and he examines churches. And here's what he said. He said, churches are like people. They have a life cycle. And he said, churches that are moving up the life cycle towards sustained health, he said, they maintain a focus on reaching people outside the faith and outside the church. He said, on the other hand, churches that have plateaued or they're declining, he said that, you know, he said, those churches, he said, I have found, have begun to turn inward. And the farther down the life cycle they go towards death, he said, the farther down the life cycle they go, the more inward focused those churches become. He said, the churches that are going up the life cycle towards just a healthy life, a mature life as a church, he said, without a doubt, those churches, he said, if what they're doing today isn't accomplishing the goal of reaching people, they'll embrace changes as they move forward toward accomplishing that goal. He said churches on the downward side of the life cycle, he said they're not inclined to make any changes to reach new people, especially if it means losing people who are already attending the church. He said, so that means there's generally two types of churches. He said outward-focused churches and inward-focused churches. I can tell you right now, as the pastor of this church, I want Crossroads to be an outward-focused church. 1 Thessalonians 1:8, the Apostle Paul commends that church. And do you know why he commends them? Because he says to them, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. He said, from you sounded out. Remember, we said an outward focus. He said, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. In fact, you know what he said? He said, you guys are doing such a good job of being outward focused. He says, we don't need to come there again. We love you guys. We'd love to see you. We don't even need to come there and preach anymore because you guys got it covered. Man, you have spread the word all throughout your region. And I thought about that. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool? This is totally hypothetical, but let's say that Jesus Christ was going to come back to the earth for 1 week of ministry. And so he's coming back to the earth for 1 week. Wouldn't it be cool if Jesus said, hey, you know what? I don't even need to go to Daytona. I don't even need to go preach there. I don't even need to go minister there because them people up at Crossroads, man, they got it covered. They got it all covered there. So you know what? We'll focus somewhere else because those guys got it covered. That's exactly what Paul's saying about them. You know, I think about Walk Through Bethlehem. That's such a powerful ministry because, again, the focus is outward. We don't charge. You know, it costs a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of energy. We make nothing off of that financially. We do not charge and never have charged for that. And yet souls are saved. People's lives are radically changed. I mean, Denise and I had the opportunity to lead people to Jesus this year, and they would have never been here had it not been for Walk Through Bethlehem. And their life's been changed. Outward focus. We want to be an outward focused church. We don't want to be inward focused. We want to be outward focused. I think about Halloween coming up. Halloween's Tuesday. And some people that are Christians are like, oh boy, I don't like that Halloween. That's a devil's holiday. That old Halloween, man, I don't want nothing to do with that. I'm just going to get in my house. I'm going to turn my porch light off, and I'm just going to scowl out the window. Because that's just all people dressing up like the devil. I don't want nothing to do with that. I kind of like Halloween. I was born that day. Some of you are like, no, you were not. You're a pastor, and you were born on Halloween? Yep. You got it. October 31st is my birthday. And now you guys know why I'm so weird, don't you? You've always wondered why the pastor is such a weird guy. Well, I was born on Halloween. That's why. But you know what? Thank you. But you know, honestly, the outward inward thing, it's a perfect example. You see, that's how an inward focused Christian would react to that. An outward focused Christian would say, wow, you know what? Man, I'm turning my front porch light on because I'm going to have people coming to my door in my neighborhood that I'm going to have a chance to smile at them and introduce myself. I'm going to give their kid a piece of candy. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to have the opportunity to hand out a Walk Through Bethlehem business card, and kids are going to love Walk Through Bethlehem. I'm going to give every kid that comes to my door an invitation to Walk Through Bethlehem. Now, isn't that the right attitude? Isn't that what Jesus would do? You know, it's like people are coming to our doors. It's like, man, that saves a lot of time when they come to our doors, amen? That saves a lot of time. We got 10,000 more business cards in this week. Our Walk Through Bethlehem resource area. Man, go back and get business cards. Hand them out to every kid that comes to your door. Tell them, man, we have one of the funnest things. It's free. One of the funnest events that you'll go to. We've even got a camel. Tell them. We got a camel. And so, you know, I hope you kind of are catching the vision here of what I'm trying to share with you, is that our attitude as a church should be, you know what? Christ has changed our lives. We're not perfect, but he's changed our lives. He has shed his grace abundantly into my heart. And you know what? We can't do anything but care. We can't do anything but care. We have to care. We have to care. God has saved us. God has changed us. God is at work in us, and we have to care. That needs to be our attitude, right? Right? Y'all got it? All right. Real quick, and I'm almost done. I want to me, this passage kind of like lays out the whole thing. Look at this real quick. Bring it up, Titus. Now see if you can identify. For we ourselves, he's talking to people who know the Lord, but he said we were, past tense, he said, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived. We were just serving our own diverse, different lusts and pleasures. We were living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. He said, but after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. And then he said, you know what? He, not by my works of righteousness, which I've done, no, according to his mercy, he saved us. He said, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. He gave me his Holy Spirit. In fact, it says he shed it on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. He gave me his Spirit. And then notice that being justified, we've been made right with God by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Man, I'm an heir of eternal life now. Whew. But you know what that ought to produce, don't you? You know what the next verse says? This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, Titus, I want you to beat this drum over and over and over and over. Don't ever get tired of beating this drum. Affirm it constantly that those which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Why? Because these things are good and profitable unto who? Men. He's talking about people outside the faith. These things are good and profitable. So he says, you need to constantly hammer it. You are not saved by your good works. You did not earn heaven through your good works. But you make sure those people know that once they've known the grace of God, that grace ought to move in their life, and it ought to move them to care about people, and they should want to do good works because these things are good and profitable unto men. And every single day, guys, come on, be honest. Every day we meet people who are hurting. You may not even know they're hurting, but they're hurting. There's been so many times, Denise and I, when we go to a restaurant, we feel like we are believers in Christ and we represent Him wherever we go. And so when we go into a restaurant, we want to try to reflect Christ and His attitudes. It doesn't mean we're necessarily going to give a whole gospel presentation or anything like that. That may not even be appropriate. They got a job to do, so I don't want to tie them up with their job. But we want to be a model of kindness to whoever that waitress is. And there's been times when we have been kind and we've kind of reached out, and a lot of times they'll come to the table, hey, how are you doing today? And you'd be surprised how few people go, good, but how are you doing? And I cannot tell you how many times that we have had waitresses. One time a lady broke down in tears at our table because she said, my dad just died. She says, I don't even want to be here. She said, thank you for asking. Or my kid is so sick and I'm a single mom. I don't want to be here, but I have to be here because if I don't work, I'm not going to be able to provide for my kid, but my kid is sick. And we have to care about people. And the person that you're caring for, maybe they're rude because they're hurting. You know? Maybe they're driving like crazy and cutting you off because they're trying to get home to a sick child. You know? And we got to just kind of have the attitude of grace of, you know what? I'm not just going to be nice if the waitress is good or if the waitress is polite. No, you know what? I don't know what she's going through. I'm just going to be kind because that's what Jesus would do. I'm just going to be good because that's what Jesus would do. And I'm going to reach out with the love of Christ. And every day of our life, every day of our life, in your handout it says we are faced with a choice. Do I share Christ? Do I share my faith? Do I care? Or do I conceal it? And do I keep it to myself? You know what, church? You would be very surprised if you would invest in people a little bit relationally. I'm telling you, if you would just invest a little bit in people relationally, you would be shocked at how they would open up and probably come the next time you invite them to a church service or to an event like Walk Through Bethlehem. It's just investing. What's the strategy we said? Invest and invite. Say that with me. Invest and invite. Very simple. Anyone who knows the Lord can do that. You just invest in people. And it may be a very simple investment. Like I said, it may be just for 30 minutes while you eat a meal. You're investing in relationally into someone. It could be a neighbor. It could be a coworker. It could be a family member. You invest. And then you, at the right time, invite them. And you'd be surprised what God will do. It may be you invite them to Jesus. It may be you invite them to a church event. You kind of have to judge what they're ready for, you know? But you invite. You may invite them to your small group. You may invite them to the Wednesday night dinner. You know, there's different things. But invest and invite. Show people that you care. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.